You're listening to Agile Ideas, the podcast, hosted by Fatima Ibuchi.
For anyone listening out there not having a good day, please know there is help out there.
Episode 37, how project management applies to pandemic.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Agile Ideas, the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a really somber time right now in the world because of the coronavirus outbreak. It's sad to see what is happening with the outbreak, and so I hope you, your families, your colleagues, your friends are keeping safe during this crisis, and I hope that you're staying at home as well. There is a lot of information, helpful information out there relating to the pandemic. There's also some not so helpful information. So be sure to check that the information that you are seeing and reading and forwarding comes from a reputable source. Now, I just want to clarify that I have no medical background or expertise, and so I cannot help there. But what I can do is try to share some insights on how project management as a profession can apply to this pandemic and other pandemics like this, and how some of the principles of project management may be in play today. It is such a broad topic, so I thought that I would focus on just a few elements of project management in relation to the coronavirus and pandemics in general. By all means, not an exhaustive list, but a starting point to help those who are interested in the project management profession to understand how project management factors, principles, tools, methods may be in play at the moment, here and abroad. So the first one I wanted to touch on is risk management, also often known as threats to your project. Regardless of the size of your project, you'll no doubt have risks because risks and uncertainty are unavoidable in project life. At one point, you may be very optimistic about the project that you're managing, but it's very, very important that you do not ignore or deny true threats. Every single project will face a range of risks, whether they are a small risk such as going over budget by a few hundred dollars to really large risks such as missing a product launch that impacts thousands of customers. Whether or not you are equipped to deal with the risks at hand is a different story, and that's not what we're going to be covering here. What I do want to cover, though, is the fact that when we think about risks and risks in general in projects, we all know that prevention is often the least costly and most reliable strategy for dealing with risks, particularly in situations where the impact is high. Unfortunately, in this situation, the risk of a pandemic has eventuated and it exists today. So now it makes sense to focus on measures that prevent or avoid further risks and mitigating the risks that are often in play with pandemics such as the coronavirus. There are a number of different ways to address risks. Four of the typical ways that you can do so includes assuming the risk, that is proceeding with the knowledge that you agree to deal with the consequences if the worst case scenario happens. You can prevent or mitigate the risk, taking action to eliminate the root cause of the risk and lessen its impact. You can also transfer the impact of the risk or avoid the risk. These are just some of the ways that you can address risks in your project. Now, obviously, with a pandemic, not all of those options are applicable anymore. In fact, at the moment, the most important activity is taking action to eliminate the root cause of the risk or lessen its impact in the community. Many governments have now simply assumed the risk, proceeding with the knowledge that they are going to deal with the consequences since this pandemic has exceeded everyone's expectations. They're unable to avoid the risk, but they need to make themselves aware of how to mitigate so that we can prevent it from spreading and minimize the chances of loss of life, and hopefully get back to some sense of normality and helping each other, regardless of what country that we are in, to take and learn from each other during this crisis. Risk managements themselves, when thinking about project management, you would typically identify the risks, you would quantify and analyze the risks before defining a contingency or a mitigation plan. Now, I'm sure from what I've read that there are pandemics defined in a number of worst case scenarios across governments, with the World Health Organization and other similar institutions. And so this may be on the radar and as one of those things that you just always consider. But now that it's here, we're actually looking at how we mitigate the risk as there isn't enough time to go back and analyze the risk more than what was done prior to this eventuating. The risk is now an issue. The risk has eventuated. The risk is here. So all of the plans that were put in place by governments and organizations around continuity planning are in full swing. In fact, I don't know any company that is not already in the depth of their business continuity planning. And governments are absolutely assuming the risk associated with this pandemic. So risk management is absolutely critical. Ideally, thinking about risks ahead of them becoming issues. But pandemics themselves are known risks. They're known to every government. They're things that you always have in the back of your mind that possibly it could happen. But unfortunately, no one in the world is able to accurately assess the impact of the particular virus before it happened. And uncertainty around this is still evident. That being said, there is ways to try to mitigate other risks that have spun off as a result of this particular one. So risk management, risk and issue management really is one of the few aspects of project management that applies when thinking about pandemics. Another one that I wanted to touch on is reporting and metrics. Now, as part of this particular crisis, there are a number of different metrics and reporting that is happening as we speak. I do not presume to know what they are or understand the levels of reporting that is required for a pandemic of this size or for a global crisis that is as large and as untenable, scary, challenging and unpredictable as it is. But what we need to think about is every organization, be it a company and government departments, need to have a view themselves of what actually matters when it comes to measuring and reporting on this crisis. There is no doubt specific metrics and targets and measurements that are in play. For example, you will see there is the ratio of people that are suspected of having the virus and those that are fatalities in this crisis. There's also other metrics such as the transmission within the community and how many of those are coming from visitors to a particular country that have been abroad versus in community transmission. There's a lot of different reporting and metrics that would be taking place right now in the pandemic. And the key is making sure that the reports and the metrics that are being used are helping to meet expectations and that with such a large scale pandemic, that variations on what type of reporting and metrics are required will possibly change and they may change daily. So you want to make sure that you are taking the opportunity to report and create metrics that are reportable that make sense for the particular project you are in. The best way to do that is to clarify the expectations of what that metric or what that report is going to tell you. Nobody likes reporting for the sake of reporting. So clarify the expectations by talking to other people within the project environment. In this case, there is no doubt that health professionals and other professionals that are working on this pandemic are speaking with regularly the government and other bodies within their particular countries around what are the things that need to be tracked and measured. Reporting and metrics themselves may not just be specific to a particular country or a particular state or territory. It might actually be inter-country reporting as well, which even adds more complexity as well, because each country will be managing their reporting in a different way. Consistency in reporting will be important in many elements to ensure that the information seen within a particular report matches that is being received, so that you have easier access to information, but also can understand and digest that information. Now, I don't have access to see what type of reporting is happening, but I would envisage that the more consistent they can get with their reporting, the easier it will be to digest that information. In addition to clarifying the expectation, understanding the true need of that particular metric or that report, to not only identify what the person or persons or the organization or the team or the government is trying to solve with that report, but actually what is the opportunity that that report or metric will present. And then as a result of that, taking the time to make sure that there is a clear path of how that information will be received and how that information will then be pushed out to customers, whether the customers are the government, the customers are other countries, customers are the health professionals. And thinking about how you do that is really important. So reporting and metrics is one of the key elements and aspects of making sure that we have the right information at the right time. And in a pandemic such as this coronavirus, it is hard to, I would imagine it's hard to keep up with the ever-changing requirements for reports and metrics. But I would hope that through the information we're seeing online and through the media and through the press conferences that governments are making, that they seem to be receiving information in a way that they are continuously updating the community in relation to it. So that's reporting and metrics. Now when we think about milestones, baselines, and dependency management. So every project needs to have some form of milestone. And a milestone, for those who are not aware, is a predetermined outcome that you wish to meet. It might be a performance milestone. It might be a milestone that relates to a particular conclusion of a specific deliverable. It might be a milestone that relates to a particular measurement being achieved. Milestones can have a lot of different purposes, but effectively it's a point in time. And that point in time might be a specific goal that a project is trying to achieve. Now, when we think about milestones and milestones and baselines and dependencies, we need to be able to make sure that in order to be able to measure either improvements or measure the lack of improvement, that we have clear, defined milestones that are then used as a point in time as to how the project is progressing towards them. So we want to make sure that we have milestones in place and those milestones are baselined so that we know at point A, between point A and say point B and then point C and point D, what the progress is between those. Now, milestone particularly can relate to a particular event happening once as a once-off, or it might be a different point in time. For example, with a pandemic, a milestone might be in relation to the spread of the virus and different points it reaches multiple states or territories, multiple states in a country, for example. Other milestones might be the point of when it reaches a specific threshold or barrier that might exist in the industry. There's a lot of different ways to measure how a project is progressing using milestones and making sure that you have a baseline for that particular project to enable you to adjust the targets as needed and measure against that specific baseline. Now, in order to do that, We need to think about what is the essential information that we need that is going to assist us in making the right decisions in the right time for the right purpose to meet the objectives of that project. It's quite easy to get overwhelmed with information, and milestones help us to break down that to focus on the key points of what we need to look at and when we need to look at those things as well. It's important that when setting a baseline, you're providing a stake in the ground early with what your planned outcomes are going to be, what you expect the desired outcomes to be, whether it's a particular feature or it's quality or it's a particular measurement that you're using, whatever it might be. Now, I've never worked on a pandemic type project, so I'm not quite sure in the specific milestones they would be using themselves, but ultimately you would want to have something to baseline against so that you understand whether or not your estimates or what you're thinking have either been met, exceeded, or there's a downfall within them. You also want to make sure that the performance of the project team members are aligned to the particular outcomes that you're trying to achieve and where you need to adjust your resourcing associated with that particular project. That can be done as well by using those targets that you've baselined against early on in the project. So once you've discussed what information is essential, you might identify where the information is generated. For example, are you using a schedule? Most projects use a project schedule. Is the information going to come from the schedule or is it going to come from a different source? So you need to understand where the source of information is going to come from and then decide how you're going to capture that information and where that information is being generated, who's going to capture that information, etc. And you want to make sure that that information is easily accessible and not dependent on just one specific individual so that it is not only easy to access, but timely, precise, and also very credible. In addition to milestones and baselines, I did mention dependency management. And dependency management is something that is no doubt becoming even more and more imperative as this pandemic is not only something that is specific to a particular country, but actually globally. And so it's really important to make sure that we understand that everything that is happening within our country, or not everything, but many things, are no doubt going to be dependent on learnings from other countries as well. And so when we think about how we may be dependent on other countries or other things such as supplies of ventilators or supplies of masks or other dependencies such as the financial stimulus that is going to help keep the economy going or keep people in roles, there's dependencies there. There's a lot of different dependencies in projects, and I think it's important that we are aware that with a global pandemic of something this size, there is no doubt multiple dependencies at play that would need to be considered, and someone or someone's, many people possibly, will be managing or coordinating those dependencies and making sure that the right information is being passed through at the right time in the right way. Speaking of information, number four is stakeholder management and communication. So stakeholder management and communication, imperative part of managing project is dealing with stakeholders. It's one of the most important things you can do as a project manager, and that is to make sure that you are always keeping your stakeholders up to date. The stakeholders in this pandemic is pretty much all of us. Not only is it the governments, the health professionals, the people that are suffering because of the virus, the community, our families, our friends, our colleagues, our employers, it's all of us. Now the big difference between this effective, you know, pro pandemic type project and projects in general is you don't often have this many stakeholders. This is the largest stakeholder groups. And when you think about stakeholder management, we need to think about people don't necessarily understand the lingo associated with project management. And so it's important that we're always making sure that our communications that are going out to our stakeholders, the people that stand to gain or lose something with the success and failure, or success or failure of a project, are kept abreast with updates, and the updates are provided in a way that works for them. Sometimes communications within a project for stakeholders that are on the project will be different to that of the end users or the customers. And so stakeholders are not only the people working on the project, but anyone that will be affected as a result of this project. And so we need to make sure that everybody involved or anybody that is affected by the project is made aware and improve the transparency of information by providing that information and that communications to your stakeholders in various different paths, in various different channels. Sometimes you need to take the time to understand your stakeholders and understand their how they can make or break a project and understand how their influence is on a project and how they may be able to have some control over the project. Now, when we think about pandemics, well, those that have influence and power of such projects are going to be the people that are the subject matter experts, the health professionals, the health practitioners, the specialists at the Center for Disease and Control, the specialists that are working, the chief health officers, people working within government that are well and truly the experts when it comes to pandemics. So they are going to have formal and some informal control over this particular project. And so once we've defined what stakeholders are involved, and in this case, it's everybody, we need to make sure that the knowledge that we need to share to our stakeholders is based on what's appropriate for them and what's the appropriate techniques and tactics to use when communicating with that particular group of stakeholders and how those messages come out. We know there's a lot of fake content going around all online. So just again, to reiterate, make sure that when we're looking at this information, that you really question the source of the information and be careful not to be sharing things that are actually in fact false or possibly incorrect or unhelpful. And the fifth key principle of project management that I wanted to share, and one of the ones that I love to use in all my projects and heavily try to invest time in doing so with my team, is the transfer of lessons learned. Now, I know it's really hard to see how lessons learned, which is usually done at the conclusion of a project or near the end, can happen when we're thinking about pandemics, but it absolutely can happen. And in fact, it can happen all the way throughout a project. From the start of identifying the pandemic through to where we are today in March, all the way through to when we get to, and we will get there, the other side. Whether you're an organization or a government, we're all on a rapid road of improvement right now, trying to learn and completely absorb every element of this virus and how this particular virus and all of the associated activities, projects or not, are in play at the moment, and how these particular learnings from different countries, from the experiences of others, from the experiences of South Korea, Singapore, China, Italy, France, the US, Australia, New Zealand, all of these countries, everybody that is going through this with us right now in the world, we need to take both the positive and negative learnings and pass them on to each other, not just within our country, but globally as well. And I can see that that appears to be happening, and that is imperative, because we can only learn and get better if we learn from each other. When we're thinking about lessons learned, we need to think about how to review the lessons and how we take from them, from those lessons, the things that are going to help us so that we can improve going forward. Whether it's a new way of treating the virus, whether it's a learning around particular treatments that don't work, whether it's the way the social distancing was applied in one country versus another. Whatever the learnings are, we need to take them and use them. And those learnings can come in many forms. Those learnings can affect multiple stakeholder groups. We need to think about what is the most valuable elements and outputs from these lessons and share those problems and those lessons and learn from them so we can avoid them in future wherever we possibly can. We need to be thinking about not only the things that went well, but also what didn't go well, and not only why they went well or didn't go well, but actually what their impact was. What do the stakeholders themselves learn from that particular lesson? What was the impact as a result of something not working or something working well? What is the best guess as to why the problem occurred? What can we do to verify the cause of that problem, and why wasn't the problem anticipated beforehand? We need to think about how we can mitigate these problems from occurring in future, or think about how they can be entirely eliminated altogether. Could it be something that could have been detected sooner? What actions could we do in future to lessen the impact of that particular problem? And then, most importantly, are we tracking these lessons in a centralized, coordinated way that other people can access them? If you do not structure information in a way that others can understand them and apply the lesson learned to their own project, own organization, future pandemic, or any other situation, then it's not a lesson that's been shared well. Now, this crisis is a horrible, horrible thing that is occurring right now around the world. And it's really sad to see the loss of life and the spread of the virus. And I really do sincerely hope that everybody out there is staying safe, trying to stay indoors and undertake as much social distancing as you can. Social distancing has been proven to be one of the most effective treatments against the virus spreading. We have an incredible, amazing community of people globally that are working together. And if there's one thing that is on this, one thing in this project, let's call it the pandemic project, that is a positive compared to many other projects that I've been a part of or that I've seen, is that we have the opportunity to all work together, but with the same objectives, the same vision, and the same mission. And that is to eradicate the virus, treat those that are unwell, and help to minimize the spread of the virus. That is the objective of this initiative. The objective of this project, if there was one, and somehow globally, there is a number of people working together, helping to try to address this virus in the best way possible, to stop it from spreading any further. You can do your part by washing your hands, social distancing, and if you can, just stay home. Stay home and listen to our other podcasts, read some books, or do something unique that you've always wanted to do and not had the time to do. So thank you for listening. I hope you've been able to feel, think, learn, or be inspired today. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I welcome any feedback. We're looking forward to having more guests on future podcasts. If you'd like to be involved, please go to www.agilemanagementoffice.com. You can also find us on most social media channels by searching for Agile Management Office or Agile Ideas. Thank you for listening. Please share or rate this if you enjoyed it. Until next time, what's your Agile idea?